Welcome back, everyone, to the For the Fan podcast. And as always, I am Will, and I'm wearing a black shirt because I'm not going to rep my team because they're terrible. We have Luke and we have Flynn on here. Gentlemen, welcome.
What's going on?
Hi.
So I took one bomb nap today, and I thought this was a dream when I woke up. But Ron Rivera is now out as Carolina head coach.
That's crazy.
Feels like a fever dream.
It really does.
I don't. That, I guess that's what happens when you lose to the Redskins. But I mean, I certainly didn't see this coming.
Yeah, this wasn't. Everybody else that has to play the Redskins the rest of this year, watch out because they're a hot team. And yeah. if you get beat by them, there goes your head coach.
Matt LaFleur this weekend. Please keep your job.
Doug Peterson in 2 weeks. Keep your job.
So I saw this little stat line. The Redskins can still win the division if they win out, and then the Eagles beat the Cowboys, and then the Eagles lose the rest, and the Cowboys lose the rest.
Yep. Which honestly,
so I'm putting my money on the Redskins.
Book it. Book it.
I'm putting my money on the Redskins to win plus 500,000 odds.
Take it to the bank.
Take it to the bank. But yeah, so Ron Rivera is out as head coach for the Carolina Panthers. He coached from 2011 to this past Sunday, 2019. a two-time coach of the year in 2013 and 2015. He went 76-63-1 in his regular season and 3-4 in the playoffs. Now, the question here is it Rivera's fault for how bad the Panthers have really been playing since London this year?
I say that when a team loses a franchise player, regardless of position, but especially quarterback, it's tough to pin that on the head coach because I wouldn't even be that disappointed with the Panthers this year after losing Cam. They may not be in the playoffs, but Kyle Allen is looking to be a quarterback they can use for at least a bridge deal while they're looking for a new guy. So I don't see why they fire Ron.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's Ron. I know that they might be looking for a culture change, I guess, and that just leads to cleaning house. And the only reason I can think of getting rid of him now instead of the offseason is to get a jump on the head coaching search if they already knew that they wanted to move on after this season. But definitely surprising. I didn't expect Carolina to be, they've been decent this season. They haven't been one of the worst teams in the league. They've competed in most games they've been in. So to see Riverboat Ron get pushed off the boat, not something I was expecting.
So now the topic arises where it's going to be for sure Rivera is going to get another job somewhere. Yeah. And it could be even a head coaching job or even a defensive coordinator job. Because right before this, he was the Chargers defensive coordinator from 2008 to 2010, which was maybe their strongest at defense in that time.
Well, to be fair, though, this league right now with all these coaches being like hired and fired, like there's so much cycling of coaches going on that like if you're a head coach that gets fired, you're more than likely going to get an offensive or defensive coordinator job the next year, maybe even a head coaching job, because there's going to be more than just Ron.
Yeah, I mean, and Ron's sort of a proven quantity as far as coaching, and he's a good player personnel guy. As far as where he's going to go, who knows where the vacancies are going to be open. I mean, I don't see Atlanta sticking with Dan Quinn.
Yeah. Hey,
even though it's still Freddie Kitchens' first year as a head coach, I can't see the Browns sticking with him as far as how undisciplined they've been.
I just thought of where Ron's going to go.
Where's he's that? Not going to be the Eagles' defensive coordinator.
No. He's going to be the He's going to be the head coach of the Washington Redskins.
I don't think anyone will take that job.
No. Think about it. Dwayne Haskins has a similar play style to Cam Newton. They need a coach. They're doing all right now. Like, they got draft picks. They're certainly going to have good draft picks.
Yeah.
Like, that could be a good team to kind of sneak your way in with right now.
Yeah. I feel like they're certainly still in the hunt for Chase Young as far as the draft goes, depending on how the rest of their season.
Giants fans Twitter is very desperate for Chase Young right now.
Yeah.
They're desperate.
They're literally tweeting out, like, what they need to happen to move up draft spots. The only team that they don't need to be ahead of is Cincinnati, because Cincinnati is going to blow for Burrow.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
right
no.
Right now, the Giants are second in the draft order, so they have Chase Young right in their hands. They just
makes
have to
me big
lose
depressed.
Out.
big depressed. And they, they play the Eagles twice.
So some other coaching spots I think will open up. Dallas, because I think the heat between Garrett and Jerry Jones is too much.
Yeah.
Shermer of the Giants, I think that might be written off. If Garrett is fired, they want – Garrett's fired. The Giants are going to take Garrett. So I think that spot might be open. A long shot right here is Adam Gase. I mean, you even go back to May when they said they weren't going to fire Mike McHagnin, and McHagnin just gets canceled right after that.
The only thing about Adam Gase, though, is that those three wins in a row, and depending on how these last couple games go, like this Cincinnati game is very condemning for him because apparently he skipped Thanksgiving to prep for the worst team in football all week, and they weren't in the red zone. So...
Yes, the worst run defense in the league.
And you have he ran it
15 times and passed the ball 50 times. I think that is going to be there.
Poor Sam.
And also, I think another coaching spot that might be open up is Detroit. I think Matt Patricia might get on his way out, especially with having all these injuries and the defense is not playing up to any special play right there.
Well, that's what should have been good when he came to the team is the defense. And he really didn't follow through with that. Now, you can't blame him for losing Matt Stafford because they were playing well when Stafford was in. And they even were doing okay with Driscoll. But after that, it's just been a slippery slope. I mean, they choked that game on Thanksgiving. And they're almost painful to watch now.
Yeah, and with Matt Patricia coming over, it feels like he kind of wanted to start the Detroit Patriots. I mean, as far as free agent acquisitions and styles, they draft Hawk for the first round draft pick, who is the closest comparison to Gronk. It really felt like he wanted to run a Patriots style team, and Detroit doesn't have the personnel in position to do that. So it'll be interesting to see if he might want to go back to like a coordinator position, because I can see him as an attractive candidate for that if he was not the head coach of the Detroit Lions next season.
Yeah, and then, Dan Quinn, as we said, in Freddie Kitchens, that was also said. I think those might be like some openings that are potentially to be available, depending if and when, those teams finish and, if they're going to fire him before the season. Because this is the second coaching firing to happen midseason. Jay Gruden was the first one that happened right after the New England game in October.
Yeah, and as far as Atlanta or Cleveland, I mean, the players that they have in-house, those could be attractive openings for a coach like Ron Rivera, who's kind of, been through it and knows how to maybe inject some discipline into Cleveland, maybe give Atlanta a spark. So it could be interesting to see him in either of those places if those positions end up opening up.
Yes. And, I think Riviera might be able to end. Oh yeah, I mean, I totally forgot Doug Morrow in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
I literally just said the whole one right before. Yeah. Right before we started recording. I'm like, yeah, Doug Morrow's gonna get canned. That's
there's no shot he stays. Like, if you can't get production out of Nick Foles, like then your name's not Doug Peterson or Andy Reid.
I mean, I saw this one stat line.
Yeah, Nick Frank
Foles
Reich
has never. Nick Foles has never gone 9 straight games in his, career without getting benched or injured. And that's any span from 2013 when he was drafted to now. So I think, he stole $22 million from Jacksonville. He's going to be going off to his own little merry way. And I wouldn't be surprised if he somehow ends up. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up back in Philadelphia. I think he just somehow ends back up in Philadelphia.
I mean, if he gets released, then it's like there are a couple teams that I feel like would try and get him, but he always said every single time after he left a team that it didn't feel right there, and then he would come back to Philly and be like, yeah, this feels right. Which, honestly, for Carson Wentz's sake, I don't want that to happen, because then the fans will be even worse than they already are.
Yeah.
So I'm not about that. I love Nick Foles. I just said his jersey is hanging on my wall right now. It is. But, yikes. Minshew mania.
Minshew mania. Running wild. All right, so I thought of this new idea that we could do on the podcast here, and we're going to take a look into this crystal ball.
What you got to do is set the mood first. Turn your lights down. Get out a candle, and just imagine there's, tarot cards and, just mood happening.
All right, so the crystal ball. We're going to be predicting a team and a player who that's going to be doing good, or we think is going to just explode off the radar within, you know, from now, week 14, going through January and even going into February. Thought of something new here. I think, you know, everyone can have a nice little fun time in doing this. So we're going to start out with Luke because Luke said he wants to do his player last.
Yeah, so I'm going to do my team.
We're
going to
start out
first.
With Luke's team. So, alrighty. Luke, who is your team?
My team is none other than my favorite New York sports team of all time, the Buffalo Bills. So my prediction for the Buffalo Bills is, as a wild card team, they win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
I can explain this. The Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills are the most slept on team in this league right now. That's Nobody fair. Gives them respect. Like, the only people that do are like Kyle Brandt on some episodes of Good Morning Football. So the thing is, and like, it's like usually when Dawson Knox or Josh Allen has an angry run. But
like Kyle Brandt loves an underdog.
Yes. That's why that's part of this too. So I love a good underdog run. I am a Philadelphia fan. I'm used to being an underdog. So I latch myself onto other underdogs. And the Buffalo Bills are slept on across the league. They're slept on across fans and media and all that. But they play good football games. They are always in a position to win. Like, even the games they lose, like, they're usually close. And if not, like, the only time that I saw them look legit bad this year was the game where they played the Patriots. I want to say it was week 5. Yes. And yeah, and what happened was, now, to be fair, they also had a dirty hit earlier in the game.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
A Patriots defensive player took out Josh Allen with, like, 3 or 4 minutes left in the game, and it was one-score game. So, but the team did not look good that day. Granted, they were stopping Brady. They didn't allow that many points. But that's been the theme this year, is that Brady's containable. It's just, like, just the defense has been nuts. But the Buffalo Bills, I think that as a wild card team, they're going to make a splash. And honestly, like, ever since, like, we became old enough to, like, learn and know sports, learning that the Bills lost 4 Super Bowls in a row is just heart-wrenching. Like, and Jim Kelly is the nicest dude ever. Like, it just makes me so sad. So, like, I want to root for the Bills. And like I said, they're my favorite all-time New York sports team. So, let's go Bills.
Bills Mafia.
The Bills' next 4 games. They play the Ravens at home. They head to Pittsburgh for Sunday Night Football, which was just recently flexed.
Yep.
And then they go into Foxborough on a Saturday afternoon game. And then they head home and play the Jets.
I think that it's 2 winnable. And then 2 that are tough, but it'll be good tests for the team.
I think the Bills might even have a shot at winning the division. I think I can even go this far. And say that. I can go even that far saying it.
I mean, like, I'm about it. Especially if they beat New England, too.
Yeah. What's
the rest of New England's schedule?
So the Patriots' remaining schedule is Kansas City Sunday.
That could be an L.
They're on the Cincinnati, then they play the Buffalo, and then they play Miami. But they're not in Miami. They're home against Miami.
Yeah, but you know Miami always gives them a run for their money. And Miami,
I mean, that's always in Miami, though. It's never, like, in Foxborough that they kind of give them a run.
We'll see, because Miami's playing good football right now. I would know. They ended my team season.
Right. Yeah, Brian Flores has done a really good job in Miami.
Well, because he has that, like, I don't give a F attitude now.
Yeah. And then the Bills clinch a playoff berth with a win, plus an Oakland loss or tie, Houston loss or tie, and Indianapolis loss or tie.
Which I think is very doable for them.
Yep.
So I'm going to go next. And looking into my little crystal ball in front of me is a team that, you know, was very slept on. I had a lot of faith in them about 3 years ago, and I thought Marcus Mariota is the solution. Marcus Mariota is going to bring them everything. He's going to win MVP. He does not. Yes. He gets benched against Denver after only having his 2 turnovers of the year. So Ryan Tannehill brings them to the playoffs under what's-his-face's name. I can't even remember his name, so that kind of ruins the vibe. But Mike Vrabel. I think Tennessee has what it takes to go to the playoffs. They just got to be – it's very favorable for them. I am totally drawing a blank on their schedule while Luke is throwing stuff in his room. So they're
so distraught about Tennessee.
So the remaining schedule for the Titans is at Oakland. They're home for the Texans. They're home for the Saints, and then they're on the road to Houston. They got to play Houston twice. The division is in their reach, I still believe. Not probably not by much. I think, yeah, it's like a they're only behind by one game. So something very doable for the Tennessee Titans. I think, you know, with Derrick Henry playing some of his best football the last year now, ever since that 99-yard run.
Yeah,
and Tannehill is a monster.
And Tannehill playing his best football literally since 2016 when Adam Gase made it to Miami.
Yeah.
I think the Tennessee Titans have what it takes to steal that sixth seed from the Duck Man and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right. So I'll look into my crystal ball and talk about my team. And the team I want to talk about is the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I know that sounds like a bit of a cheap pick because they have Patty Mahomes. I get it. But look, I mean, the Chiefs, ever since Mahomes went down, they've lost some games. They're 8-4 right now. They're not really in the national conversation as far as the AFC because Baltimore's been lighting it up and New England is New England. But I think that they have what it takes to sort of recapture that last season Kansas City Chiefs magic, start putting up 40 a game, and Pat Mahomes start looking like the MVP again. And I think they're just going to go on a tear. The remaining schedule is versus New England. So I think that if they win that game decisively, then suddenly all hell breaks loose. Then this pick looks even more cheap. Everybody's going to be talking about how good the Chiefs are. And yada, yada, yada. But their last three games are the Broncos, the Bears, and the Chargers.
That's
so,
a fantastic way to end the season.
Exactly. So they can very easily go 12-4, have a high seed. I mean, beating New England will go a long way to potentially getting a first-round bye. But I just feel like nobody's talking about Kansas City as a Super Bowl team anymore because of what Baltimore has done and because of who New England is. But I think that they're still probably the premier threat in the AFC. I know their defense struggles, but, you know, Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu are sort of now starting to look like the additions everybody thought they would be on that division, making plays on both sides of the field. I think that the Chiefs are really going to make a run and remind people who they are.
I think something about the Chiefs, too, that is going to go a long way is this isn't Pat Mahomes' first rodeo in the playoffs now.
Right.
Like, he's played some tough playoff games. He had a tough playoff loss under his belt.
Yeah.
So this team is coming back better. They're coming back better with more weapons. Mecole Hardman and Damien Williams, like, yeah, on the offensive side, like you said, those guys on the defensive side. They're going to be a scary team for sure. I think they're just slept on because of the Lamar Jackson mania.
Right. Yeah. Lamar Jackson, I mean, we saw what Pat Mahomes does last season, so it's not new anymore. And they do have four losses, but, you know, those losses came under interesting circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, Pat wasn't even there for, what, one or two of them?
Yeah.
Two
so
games.
I think that Kansas City is going to remind everybody who they are these last four games and then really look like a powerhouse going into the playoffs.
Very interesting. So let's look into my crystal ball here, and I'm going to be taking over my team because Luke wants to go last for his player.
Yeah, because
well,
I can't even think
up
of one yet.
name, what's his name? So
name.
So looking at my crystal ball, I'm going to look at someone that was a dominant player December, January, and February last year. And his name is Sony Michel. Now, Sony Michel, like, December football is the Patriots' best football. Tom Brady is doing worse than Mitchell Trubisky. Let's just get that right off there.
Big oof.
Mitchell's going to win six straight Super Bowls, okay? I'm going to send it out. He's going to be the greatest player of all time.
This podcast has lost all of its credibility.
It's you know.
Chicago, extend Mitchell Trubisky, you cowards. Do it, please.
Since Tom Brady's not playing his best football right now, who are they going to rely on? They have, you know, James White, who's a receiving back. They have Rex Burkhead, who's a goal line beast. They got Sony Michel to control the other 90 yards of field.
Right.
Really. Sony Michel played his best football in the playoffs. He had, like, what, 300-something yards?
He was the only one to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yep. He should have won MVP.
He should have. He really should have.
But Stephon Gilmore won MVP, which is, you know,
No, Julian Edelman won MVP.
Oh yeah, Julian Edelman. Oh yeah, I forgot. It was.
And then they shaved his beard live on Ellen.
Yeah. It's such a weird world. But no,
Please don't go to the Super Bowl this season, New England. I'm tired of it.
But I think Sony Michel is going to be the reason why the Patriots offense is going to look a lot better, and they don't have to put all that stress on Tom Brady, because Tom Brady is not playing well. I'm not saying he's washed. I'm just saying he's not playing well. And you're going to need to take all that pressure off him with those running backs that you have. So Sony Michel, I say he's even going to do better than what he did last year. He's going to do phenomenal.
Yeah,
400 yards in December.
If those improvements in the running game come, then the passing game is going to open up a little bit more for New England. Tom Brady will start looking more like traditional Tom Brady. I mean, people talk about the lack of weapons in New England, but Tom Brady can make anybody look good. So I think that if the running game becomes more effective, then the improvements in the passing game will come. My player pick is Alan Lazard, wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. So he's sort of come into his own lately, and Green Bay has kind of been looking for a second wide receiver option all this season behind Davante Adams. After Davante Adams went down with his turf toe injury, the passing game struggled, and they relied on Aaron Jones in the passing game. But I think that Alan Lazard, after the game against Detroit, has kind of been on fans' minds as potentially the guy, and he looks great. He looked really good against New York, and obviously people point out the Packers beating the Giants isn't some amazing win that should be, you know, lauded for happening. But at the same time, after that devastating beatdown they took on Sunday Night Football against the 49ers, they needed a game like that to get right. And they put up 31, only gave up 13. Like, the New York Giants are still a professional football team. They can still compete, and the game was relatively close, you know, going into halftime. So they put it together, and I think that Green Bay in December and hopefully through January, February, we'll see, is going to start to put together a more consistent offense. Because sometimes they go out here and drop 30-plus. Sometimes the offense is painful to watch. So I think that Aaron Jones is going to get more targets out of the backfield again, start looking like he did earlier in the season. But then also Davante Adams will get more work. And then Alan Lazard, being that third option behind those two playmakers, is going to really shine in that role.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. Ever since, you know, they you know, lost Cobb and Nelson, there wasn't really like that number two.
Yeah.
Now, I think Lazard can, you know, step into that role.
He's a talented guy, and he's won Rodgers' trust really quickly. Mm-hmm. And once you have Rodgers' trust, he will look your way, no matter if you're in insanely tight coverage. He'll look your way.
Or like week one, he won't look your way, and he'll no-look a 30-yard pass.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
I would just like to add. I would like to add to that point that with Alan Lazard starting to play better, he's going to be drawing more coverage. That means my boy MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, is going to be more and more open, more favorable matchups. And he needs to be a little more consistent. He's had some down weeks. But with Davante Adams and Alan Lazard balling, that leaves him a wide open. Like, literally, he's going to be wide open on some plays.
That's what could make the Packers scary in December and in the playoffs, because number one, this is Aaron Rodgers' time to shine. He thrives in these conditions at this time of the year.
He's like Tom Brady. It's his best football.
Exactly. And looking at Davante Adams and Aaron Jones, if teams start sort of paying attention to Alan Lazard too and scheming for him, Marquez Valdes-Scantling excels as a deep threat. So he's somebody that could stretch the field. And I think that the offense will start to click a little bit more now that you have more than one player at a time making plays, because it was all Aaron Jones early in the season. Then Davante came back and trying to work out how to get them both the ball and split the running game with Jamal Williams. I think that Alan Lazard is going to become the sort of stabilizing force for the Packers offense and give them that one more consistent option that can help them remain consistent in the offense.
All right, so are you guys ready for my player?
I'm curious as to who he is.
So the reason why I had such a hard time was my original player was Aaron Jones, And then when Flynn picked a Packer, I was like, no, that's his team. Let him go. Let him flex. But my boy, he runs for miles and miles. Miles Sanders, number 26, Philadelphia Eagles out of Penn State. And no, I'm not going to say who he was backup to because the freaking broadcasters need to remind us every week he is his own person. Anyways,
that's right.
The reason why I talk about Miles Sanders is the NFC East is wide open. Every team is bad. But the part where the Eagles need to improve is exactly what Miles does. Excellent. He runs the ball well. With Jordan Howard being on and off hurt, with Jay Ajayi being like back, but like not because we're not using him for some reason. Miles Sanders is actually, he just became the fifth all-time rookie all-purpose yards leader for Eagles. He is 120 yards away from breaking the record, which is held by Deshaun Jackson. So with four games left, I think he has a good shot at breaking it if they use him right. Because Miles Sanders has had very good games. He hasn't had monster four-touchdown games like Aaron Jones, but he gets yards. And the thing is that if you get him in a rhythm and get him going, he will play good. And Carson Wentz needs help right now. The O-line hasn't been what it should be for some reason. That's a whole other rant that I could talk about for hours. But Miles Sanders is able to find those gaps, and he's able to get the Eagles tons of yards in crucial situations. And he also has had some good special teams moments, although he hasn't been on that side of the ball since Jordan Howard got hurt. They need him more on offense. But I think he's the X factor of whether or not the Eagles make playoffs or not, because the Eagles receivers are what they are. We know what they are. They can't catch. We know them. The only one that can catch is Deshaun Jackson. He's not going to be back until playoffs if we make it. So Alshon Jeffery is just having an off year. Nelson Aguilar is trash like he always was. He just had a good year in 2017. Like, Zach Ertz is having an off year, which is just a sentence I hate saying. But that's why it comes down to Miles Sanders, the rookie. He has played very well. He has exceeded all expectations from being a second-round pick. We weren't expecting him to get much work, honestly. We were expecting him just to kind of get his feet wet and get in the league. I'm very happy with how he's played. I mean, ever since he had that 65-yard touchdown run, I forget what week that was. Yeah, that was the Bills. Yeah. I literally was just like running around the house screaming, he runs for miles and miles because it's the best thing ever. But no, I genuinely think this is the make or break for the Eagles, because some Eagles fans, the fan base is really torn right now. Some say, let's tank so we get a good pick and Jason Garrett keeps his job. Then the other half says, nah, let's push for playoffs. We don't know. Like, we need Carson Wentz to get playoff experience. We need Miles to get playoff experience. We need everybody to get their feet wet in playoffs, like all the rookies and stuff. Because, I mean, last year, the Eagles, even though, like, we fluked our way past the first round after the double doink, like, I am so glad those players got playoff experience. Cravon LeBlanc, Avante Maddox, Rasul Douglas, they all needed it. Now they have it, but Carson still doesn't have it, and I want that. So that's why I am excited to see Miles Sanders, because I think he's going to be the first time the Eagles like keep a running back for like more than a year since Shady. So, yeah.
Interesting. So now we're going to head on to injuries right now.
Oh,
there was a lot of injuries that happened. Sad. So Baker Mayfield hurt his hand on one of the Hail Marys before halftime. In the Browns-Steelers game, a contusion on his hand. He missed a couple of plays, but he's expected to be fine. Greg Olsen suffered a concussion on a helmet-to-helmet hit with Redskins linebacker Ryan Anderson. Anderson was ejected for that. Kenyon Ballage was sent to IR after suffering a leg injury versus the Eagles. He did not return. Jerome Baker had a chest injury in the win. Chester Rogers had a broken bone in his knee. He's being put on injured reserve, ending his season. Kenny Moore for the Colts also had an ankle injury. Buccaneers cornerback Jamal Neal had a shoulder injury, did not return. The Redskins got beat up a lot. Trey Quinn suffered a concussion. Morgan Moses had a back injury, did not return. And Montez Sweat, the first-round pick, suffered a quad injury. Jets cornerback Arthur Mollett suffered an ankle injury. Tennessee linebacker Adoree Jackson did not return after suffering a knee injury. Darren Bates also hurt his shoulder. And Luke just flashed the card at me.
It was Dark Magician from Yu-Gi-Oh!
Jaquaski Tart did not return after suffering a rib injury for the Niners, and DJ Jones did not return with a injury there. Daryl Williams had a hamstring injury.
This list is so long.
I know. Yeah. Frank Clark had a shoulder. Raiders cornerback Rashad Fenton had a hamstring injury against the Raiders. Tywan Jones for the Houston Texans suffered a hamstring, did not return. And then Patriots center Ted Karras suffered a knee injury and did not return. I skipped a couple people.
Yeah.
So it was able to go a little quicker there.
Yeah, a little quicker.
Yeah, a little quicker.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, we might go right to our predictions, I guess. I don't have anything else. I mean, I wrote down.
Well, we can do that at the end. Let's do that at the end.
Okay. Yeah, so we already went over that. Vander Esch has already been ruled out for Thursday Night Football for the Cowboys. That's a big loss for them.
Huge loss.
It is a huge loss.
He's one of those guys that, like, follows the ball the entire play. Like, he's a ball hawk. And, I mean, I still can't believe how good he is. I didn't expect him to be as good as he is.
Yeah, for sure. And I saw his quote on NFL Network about, you know, it seems like in a different situation he could push himself. But he's looking to play for longevity and not wear out his body too quickly. And I think that's a smart decision.
You got to respect that.
Yeah, for sure. And
the franchise has to respect that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he can be, you know, playing it at an all-star level for many years to come. So,
yeah.
John Ross was activated off injured reserve. That's big for the Bengals. CJ Mosley.
For my wallet.
CJ Mosley. is put on IR after his groin injury did not heal up this season.
Yeah.
He played a great first half against the Bills, resulting in a pick six early on, a couple of tackles, and then once he left, the defense kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
But, let's head right into predictions, okay? I feel ready. And Luke, you have something to say about the baseball podcast that's going to be posting an episode in the next couple of days.
Hell yeah, brother. So for the fan baseball with me and, you know, your other favorite baseball experts, self-proclaimed experts, Ian and Mikey, we have a big, big episode coming up. I don't know when it's going to be posted, but tomorrow we're interviewing Kenon Smith, who is a Yankees prospect. We are very excited. Kenon and I became friends while we were at a Lakewood Blue Claws game this year. He was playing the outfield and I was a bystander I was a fan. Will was there too.
I was a very
we'll tell the
fan.
Story on the podcast, but I'm very excited, and you'll see on the Instagram and Facebook and Twitter all that good stuff when it gets posted. We're just all very excited to interview a Yankees prospect, so
it's gonna be a very fun one. I can't wait to hear that interview. So we're gonna be looking into the predictions, and right before we do, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. For the Fan Podcast, you can find us on there. Twitter, no, cross that out. yeah, but you can find us on there. We're always posting whenever the new episode's up. And we're going to be, we're going to be thinking of what we're going to be doing come the offseason for football and all that.
Yep.
So, for predictions, we all had 8 wins last week.
Solid.
Solid. Went 500. Went 500 there. So, the Thursday night matchup, Dallas at Chicago. Luke is lone wolfing it this week. And Luke, who are you? Oh, well, biased. But you can say who you're picking.
I am picking the Chicago Da Bears.
Da Bears.
I'm picking the Bears because Thursday night football, anything can happen. Mitch Trubisky. Wait, and also, Mitch Trubisky and Dak Prescott are the same in my brain right now, and I think the Bears' defense is better than the Dallas defense. That's why I'm picking it. There's real reasons, guys. There's real reasons.
I'm picking Dallas only because I think Dallas is a way better team, and they can play in primetime games and not choke.
Yeah, I'm picking Dallas, too. I don't trust Mitch Trubisky to win this game. But even more so, I think that Dallas, after losing on Thanksgiving to Buffalo, it kind of felt like maybe the division would be there for the taking for Philadelphia. But then after the Eagles lost to Miami, I think that Dallas kind of understands, like, they need to get into gear and win if they're going to win this division.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Like the Miami Dolphins.
Next matchup. Indianapolis at Tampa Bay. Flynn is lone wolfing it this week.
Right.
Honestly, this one I really couldn't pick. I saw Will type Indianapolis, and I was just like, I'm going to go with that. Because I was thinking about picking Tampa Bay, too. But these are both two meh teams that play good sometimes. So, like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Jameis Winston is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in the NFL. You don't know whether he's going to throw for 5 interceptions and 150 yards.
I want to say I saw a stat the other day that says he has 100 interceptions since entering the league, and that is the most out of any player since his rookie year.
Yeah, he loves turning the ball over, but sometimes he throws for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns.
With 5 interceptions, though, as well.
Yeah. I think that good Jameis shows up. I feel it for some reason.
He feels it.
Art thou feeling it now, Mr. Krabs?
Yeah, I'm just picking Indianapolis because I want to play a safe pick here. Do you have anything to add, Luke?
I already added.
Okay. You see. So, we have a couple of good 1 o'clock games coming up here. Baltimore at Buffalo.
Oof.
I want to talk first. Okay, Luke, talk first.
So Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen were my two favorite quarterbacks to come out of that draft, and I love them, and I'm so excited to watch this game. I'm picking Buffalo, though, because underdog spirit, even though the Ravens are sick.
Flynn, who are you picking?
I'm going with Baltimore. I think they continue to roll. No disrespect to Buffalo. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. I don't think that I think the Ravens offense will look closer to how they looked against the 49ers than they had in games past where they're dropping 40 on everybody.
Bills defense is pretty good.
Yeah, they have a solid defense. And the game is in Buffalo, but I think that the Ravens pull it out and continue to roll.
I'm going to look up something really quick. Okay, so I wanted to see what the weather would be like. They're calling for snow Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's going to be sunny Saturday, cloudy Sunday, then rain and snow. Okay, so there's no weather going to be involved here. But I'm going to pick the Buffalo Bills. I said last week that the defense is going to be the difference maker in the Baltimore 49er matchup, and it definitely was.
Yep.
That was a fantastic game.
But Lamar Jackson has to play yet another good defense, and I will easily put the Bills as a top 5 defense. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm going to pick Buffalo here, and I think Buffalo's defense may be the reason why they beat Lamar Jackson, the current MVP candidate, in Buffalo Sunday.
MVP Young Hoku.
Go. So
he recovered 3 onside kicks.
Amazing. Will never happen again. Give him the MVP just for that.
MVP. Next matchup, Detroit at Minnesota. We have a clean sweep. Oh, we have a couple of clean sweeps in the next couple of picks.
I mean, this one, I feel like this one's a no-brainer because Kirk Cousins performs at 1 o'clock. And also,
Mr. 1 o'clock.
And he only performs at 1 o'clock is what I should say. But also, it's a divisional matchup. And the I almost called them the Twins. I'm in baseball mode. The Vikings are a good team. I don't think they're making a run, but I think they're a good team. And Detroit is just in shambles right now.
Yeah, it's in Minnesota. They're coming off a loss, so they really need to win because they're still in a position to compete with Green Bay for the division. And like you said, Detroit has really been on a downswing since Stafford went down. So I don't see them figuring it out against Minnesota in Minnesota.
The phone is ringing, so Luke, I'll let you take the helm of host really quick.
All righty. So the next matchup, we have another clean sweep. So it's Washington at Green Bay, and clearly to all podcast listeners, we know we all picked Washington. Oh wait, you thought
classic they're going on a out. Run?
Classic fake out. No, we all picked Green Bay. Flynn, take it away.
Yeah, so it's in Lambeau. It's December in Lambeau with Aaron Rodgers. We're getting close to playoffs. Washington only has a couple wins. I don't see them continuing the magic against Green Bay. I don't think that anybody on the Packers should sleep for this game. I think they should still prepare to play a team with some good players. But, I mean, the Green Bay defense, I mean, they've looked inconsistent. They give up a lot of yards, but they're very solid in the red zone. And they're playing a rookie quarterback who hasn't been phenomenal, who doesn't really have that many weapons. So it's all about containing Darius Geis. forcing Dwayne Haskins into making mistakes, causing turnovers, which I think the Green Bay Packers defense will be able to do. And I think that Aaron Rodgers continues to sort of put it together on the offense in this one.
Yeah, so as Will returns, we were just talking about how Washington is going to win the Super Bowl. Will, you missed it.
All right, well, you know, I'm putting my money on Washington to win a playoff game too, so I may as well go broke. I mean, I bought a Switch on Black Friday too. Yeah. Luke and I bought Switches on Black
Friday. Yes, we did. We were bad. I played Tecmo Bowl on it. Play as Bo Jackson.
So
cheat code.
Yeah, literal cheat code.
So the Green Bay matchup you guys just talked about. So next one, Denver at Houston. No brainer. Houston across the board. Houston's just a way, way, way better football team, and they're not going to lose to Drew Lock. I'll say it right now.
Agreed.
I think Drew Lock is going to be fun to watch these next couple weeks, though.
Yeah, he's in an interesting position of, you know, his team isn't going to compete for anything, so he can kind of just sling it. He's not really in a position where I feel like he is going to need to fight for the job. I don't think he's going to lose the job for the future at any point in the remainder of this season. So you can go out there and just play. But like Will said, I think Houston is a way better team. I think Deshaun Watson gets it done pretty easily in Houston for this one.
So another great, great 1 o'clock matchup. San Francisco at New Orleans, a potential playoff matchup.
Yep.
Luke is picking this team.
Wait, I'm lone wolfing?
You're lone wolfing this game.
Pretty crazy.
That's pretty crazy.
Alrighty, well,
who are you selecting?
Boys, I don't know how you're not picking the San Francisco 49ers, because the New Orleans Saints offense is not what it once was. They're not as good. And this San Francisco defense is scary. They just contained Lamar Jackson to 20 points. So, you know, I mean, they may have lost, but, like, I think that the San Francisco offense against the New Orleans defense is going to be a nice confidence booster for Jimmy Garoppolo. And, yeah, I don't know how I'm lone wolfing this at all.
I mean, I'm picking the Saints only because it's December football in NOLA. The Who Dat Nation is going to be loud. They're going to be bringing in their whistles.
Their fans are dumb.
Look at this. They're playing an NFC West opponent. Do you know what happened the last time they played an NFC West opponent? Well, I mean, not the Cardinals, but, you know, the one that happened in January where, you know, the refs blew that really bad call.
Yeah, and then they cried about it for 9,000 years.
I mean, yes, they deserve to be upset over that.
They took it too far.
But
okay, yes, and this isn't going to be like the whole situation where, you know, the Yankees deserve to have the 2017 World Series title handed to them.
Don't even.
That's equally as stupid as that.
Thank you. Thank you for saying it was stupid.
Because it was stupid. But yeah, I don't think Jimmy G will survive the crowd noise in NOLA come Sunday.
Yeah, I think the environment is going to play a big part in this. And to the New Orleans offense has not been clicking, but I think that everybody should watch out because I think that it might start clicking. Alvin Kamara has been hurt a little bit, that he hasn't really been on the field with, and Michael Thomas has been lighting it up. I think that if Drew Brees is connecting with Kamara and Thomas at the same time, that the rest of the league needs to watch out. And I think that being in New Orleans with the crowd noise in the Superdome, like I just find San Francisco going here and Cam Jordan getting pressure in Jimmy G's face, forcing him into mistakes, defense causing turnovers. I think that Michael Thomas eats Richard Sherman's lunch money in this game.
Ooh.
I think that he continues to tear it up. So yeah, I don't have any qualms about taking New Orleans to win this one.
Next matchup, Cincinnati at Cleveland. Clean sweep, Cleveland.
Ugh.
I don't even want to talk about this game either.
Wow, we both just said, all right, next matchup.
Next matchup. Carolina at Atlanta.
To be honest, Flynn, I don't want to talk about this one either. But
I mean, Flynn is lone wolfing it.
Yeah,
so
lone wolfing it. All right. So this is an interesting game. Atlanta, like, is a real weird team this year. I can't really pick either of these teams with confidence. So the only thing I'll say is that I think that Christian McCaffrey is fully aware that the fantasy playoffs are starting this weekend for a lot of people, and is going to try and make his owners real happy and just takes over the game like he's done so many times this season, and wins the game single-handedly for the Panthers.
He brought up the fantasy playoffs, and I missed the playoffs after starting 4-0.
Oh, here
in this
we go.
League.
Here we go.
I went 5-1 in the first six, and I lost at 6-6-1.
I'm sorry.
The league, I somehow made the playoffs at 7-5.
All right, shut up. We don't care about your fantasy woes. This matchup is trash team versus trash team.
Owning players is stupid. That's all I'm saying. Okay, well, Atlanta's going to win. Julio Jones going to eat, but I'm not going to check my fantasy lineup for that. Next matchup, Miami at the Jets. Luke is lone wolfing it. Not surprised. Luke, who are thy people?
I'm picking the Miami Dolphins out of spite. Moving on.
Moving on. Okay. I'm picking the Jets because, yeah, it's my team. There's it's a meaningful game for the Jets right now. That's all that I care about.
Yeah, the Jets really need a morale boost in house after what just happened. So I think that they go back to looking like the Jets of the previous three games.
It's funny because the Jets are the first franchise ever to lose to 2-0-7 or worse teams in the same season. Just felt like that stat line should be said.
J-E-T-S.
J-E-T-S. Suck, suck, suck. Tank, tank, tank. Okay. Next matchup, the Chargers at Minshew Mania. Flynn is lone wolfing it.
Yeah, there are a lot of good matchups this week, but there's a lot of bad matchups too, and this is another one. Chargers at Jacksonville, it's kind of, the Chargers keep finding interesting ways to lose, but I think they get the win this time. I think that Ingram and Bosa will be up in Minshew Mania's face. They'll shave his mustache.
There's some really bad matchups this week.
Yeah, I know. So, I think the Chargers are a talented football team. I don't know what implosion is happening in
Los
Angeles.
They're the biggest what-if of this season. Literally, like, the way they played week one, I was like, okay, Eckler's balling. Like, it's dangerous in L.A. and not the Rams. But now it's like, hell no.
Yeah.
I'm picking Jacksonville because Minshew Mania, baby. And then when he gets benched in the third quarter, Nick Foles come back.
Solid.
Oh, Minshew Mania running wild. I'm tired. Wow. Okay. So the next matchup, Kansas City at New England. There is a clean sweep across the board.
Big oof!
For Kansas City. Can Patty Mahomes get this done? Last year, that game totaled like 93 total points. So blowing the horn right there.
Yes. Here's what I see happening. Here's what I see happening. I don't know if what you guys saw. I don't know if you guys saw, but Tom Brady on the sideline, crystal ball. Tom Brady on the sideline last game was yelling at his team to get things going. He was not happy. And you know what? This is the time to strike for teams against New England. They are not aligned for the first time in like 15 years. So. And like the team to do it, Patty Mahomes, when the media is ignoring him, he's going to like crack his knuckles, throw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, real cash.
Yeah, you know? It just feels like the Kansas City like reemergence game to me. And I think that
media wise, especially.
I think in New England in the beginning of the season, they have a very good defense. But in the beginning of the season, people were kind of questioning like, yeah, they've been dominant, but who have they played? And as they continue to face quality opponents, they're struggling a bit. And so when the defense can't carry them, we've already talked about the offensive struggles that have been happening in New England right now. It is kind of crazy that we had a clean sweep of a team going into Foxborough.
Hey, that feels a little wrong, but we're
like the defense is gonna struggle a little bit more against Patty Mahomes, and I don't think the offense is going to be able to compete.
I'm holding my chest right now. Alabama's dropped to 12th in the nation right now. Oh my God.
The tide is not rolling.
Is Ohio State number one?
Well, here, let me look at the college football playoffs right now.
This is not relevant. This is not relevant.
I mean, I just want to tell you if OSU is number one, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they are, but you know, it doesn't tell me. Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Georgia remains top of the CF.
Okay, let's go LSU and Georgia. Anyways, next matchup.
So, next matchup, clean sweep Tennessee at Oakland, clean sweep Tennessee.
I don't think this is necessarily...
The rest of the matchups are clean sweeps. Yeah.
I don't think Tennessee at Oakland is necessarily like a lock for me, but I picked Tennessee because they're the hot team.
Yes, yeah. Tannehill Henry season.
I think Tannehill can, you know, keep going on fire. He's 5-1 since taking over that starting job.
What my favorite part about Tennessee is that Derrick Henry never wears a jersey big enough size. He starts.
I don't know if they make a big enough jersey for him.
No, they do, because look at all the other big boys in the league. He
look
just
at the
wears
big
like,
boys in the stands wearing 5XLs. Like, come
yeah,
on.
No, he just wears like a kid's double XL. And like as he's running down the sideline in a 99-yard run, you see his tummy, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, I'd rather see that than Michael Bennett's peewee shoulder pads. So
you mean avocado face? He looks like an avocado. Also, he says, Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever. Next matchup, Pittsburgh at Arizona. Clean sweep across the board here, Arizona. Yeah, I just don't think there's going to be any ducks going to be there to kill for the duck calling. Duck Dynasty under center.
Although it was funny, I saw a tweet that said, somebody please stop talking about he's a national duck caller because he's playing good football. I'm like, is he though? Yeah. He's okay. He's all right. He's not going to be a quarterback in the NFL in a year, but
yeah,
it's a fun side story.
Practice squad QB.
It is. It's just like that Blackhawks goalie that came in like 2 years ago.
Scott Foster.
It's a feel-good story.
Office worker by day, Blackhawks goalie registering a win by night.
Next matchup, Seattle at Los Angeles.
This is an easy matchup, I think.
This is easy money.
The Seattle offense is freaking on fire. Yeah, like the way they've been playing.
Pick Seattle in your parlays.
Yes.
Lock of the week.
Ooh, from Flynn. Usually it's from Will. I like that.
Seattle looks really good. And they just took over the division, over the 49ers, and I think they're going to want to keep stacking those wins and stay in a position to compete for a first-round bye.
Honestly, yeah, Seattle Seahawks and the 49ers right now are the Paul Rudd meme. Like, look at us.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Not me, because, you know, the Rams made the Super Bowl last year, and we're a juggernaut. But Jared Goff being trash has exposed them.
Some of the places I wouldn't want to play in the NFC in the playoffs, NOLA, Seattle, Green Bay.
Yeah.
Those are the three. Then the rest of the places are just, you know.
All three of those teams are still in a position. Yeah, well, you know. I don't think Philly's competing for a first round bye.
I'm just saying you don't want to play in Philadelphia.
Absolutely. No offense, Luke. I don't think anybody's going to have to.
No, they're not. They're not.
But, you know, we'll see how it breaks. They could
put
still
respect on my team's name.
They could still pretty easily win that division. But yeah, all three of those teams are in a position in the NFC to have the playoffs come through their stadiums. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season plays off and who's going to be going where for the playoffs.
Yes. Yeah, so the last matchup, the New York Giants at the Philadelphia Eagles. Clean sweep across the board here. Philadelphia.
Here comes the respect for you, Luke.
Go, Bird!
No surprise here that, you know, we all picked Philadelphia. But yeah.
Sanders, three touchdowns.
Yeah, miles and miles and miles.
Runs for miles and miles, baby. Miles and miles.
Yeah, I just think that at the end of the day, the New York Giants would rather have Chase Young than win this game. And I just don't think they're in a position to compete for it, to be honest. I think the Eagles are a better team. I think the Eagles are going to unleash some wrath after losing to Miami. I wouldn't want to be a New York Giant on Sunday. Wow.
Yeah, I think it's time to end the episode. So, yeah, again, thank you, Luke and Flynn, for coming on and
absolutely
having a wild... I don't even know how long this call's been going on for. Wow, 50 minutes. That's a long time.
It's a ride.
So, thank you if you tuned in to this far. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at For The Fan Podcast. I almost had the old link. Luke is dabbing. You can listen to the
I want to say, too. Yes.
Kanaan Smith interview.
be on the lookout for that. We're recording tomorrow, so I guess it'll probably be Thursday or Friday, but we're very excited, so.
Big excite. Yes, you can listen to their other podcast that they are stars of.
Mm-hmm.
Luke can start.
So, Will and I, and then our yes. lovely friend Cassandra.
Former For the Fan social media assistant.
Yes, but no, so Cassie, Will, and I are on a podcast called The Freelance Network, where we interview content creators about what they do and why they do it, and it's a lot of fun. You should check it out. It's Freelance Network Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and then Freelance Network on YouTube.
Yeah, and I have a movie podcast. If you guys are interested in that, it's called Chatting Cinema, me and my friend Gianni Fiori. We are also on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook under Chatting Cinema. You can find us on YouTube and Spotify as well. Give us a listen if you like going to the movies.
I do.
Yeah, we can smuggling chicken wings in there.
Oh,
but
yes,
that's a story for
another day. The century. We should come on Chatting Cinema. We should go on Chatting Cinema and talk about going experiences.
How to sneak in food to the movie theater.
Yeah, we can do a concessions episode.
Oh, concessions episode?
Concessions cheat code, bringing in
and
wings.
we'll review Sausage Party in that episode.
Solid.
We'll text right. Gianni after this.
So before this really runs on too long, thank you again for tuning in. You can listen to all those podcasts. And as always, I'm Will. Thank you for listening to the For the Fan podcast.
Bye.